All right, this is Pure Decking, show number 507 for Thursday, February the 9th, 1775. This is a show about stuff that interests me, like information security, rigging the game, and wondering when is the right time to unload all these Raspberry Pis I've been sitting on eBay. Tonight, we have a madman. What is up, madman?
I'm going to go with just before the next gen comes out.
Well, so, like, I've got, like, I don't know, 5 or 6 Raspberry Pi Zeros sitting in the parts bin over there. And, well, let's just see, eBay here. Raspberry Pi Zero W. They're going for, what, like 40 bucks a piece? I think I paid 40 bucks for the 5 of them. Because I bought a couple of sets because I was using them for different projects, mostly with 3D printing at one point. And a lot of that, they got pulled back out or used in other things and just kind of set aside. And it's like, you know, the price on these things is still stupid. And as I realize, I've got a ton of them I'm not really doing much with. On one hand, I like having the extra parts, so when I do get an idea, I've got them. But on the other hand, if I could flip these things for 40 bucks a piece, it's kind of, it's almost stupid just to sit on them, you know?
So. Yeah, especially when by the time you decide you want to do another project, it could be, you know, back in stock.
Well, I know the Pi Foundation has said they're working on it, but yeah, the secondhand market for those things is still stupid. So. But anyways, and we have an RU, possibly.
Thank you for letting me know your cable's fucking dick, dude. Fucking headset off and banging it on the fucking table. Why is the left fucking channel not working?
It took me a minute to figure it out, too.
Like, what the fuck? Do I interrupt the intro? Is it me? God damn it, I'm having so many fucking problems today.
I reached down to start checking cables, and the moment I touch one, the other channel comes back in. And it's just like, son of a bitch. So... That you don't understand the nightmare, the Cthulian mess that it is under my desk of wires.
Oh, I understand. I have the same problem.
Looks like spaghetti.
And it's like, I've got to rewire this now because I don't know where the bad wire is. And there's a couple of places it could be in that chain. So, fuck. or it could be the mixer. That would suck. Actually, maybe not, because if it's the mixer, I could probably pop it open and find the cracked solder joint and just, you know, fix it. But I'd do that with a piece of radio gear, this big filter thing I have that's supposed to keep you from fucking with televisions, which I wanted to try because an amp I was playing with was turning off a monitor. It's like, wait a minute, what? So I was going to try this filter on the back of it to see if it helped, but... no signal was coming through that thing at all, and I'm messing with it, and I finally figured out the cracked solder joint and was able to fix it, but it was just kind of a bitch to figure out, but yeah. You know, and I just replaced all those cables about a year and a half ago when I moved, so I'm wondering what I've done to make it do that, but oh well, at some point I'll rip out the audio system and probably should rewire the whole damn desk, but Jesus. So if I'm ever offline for like a week, that's because I've decided to rewire it, then got distracted. I've lost
track. We'll go check on you at your house and you'll be tied up with wires.
Help.
Like, God, how many days have you been this way?
I've lost a lot of weight.
Congrats. The bondage weight loss method.
So, anyways, I guess we ought to go ahead and get into this. So, surprising nobody, Microsoft wants to be the Google of your OS when it comes to data. Well, I guess maybe Facebook would be a better comparison. Microsoft wants to collect as much data off of you as they possibly can so they can, you know, flip it and make money.
Who doesn't?
Well, I know. That's kind of where I'm going with this, is I've got a couple of fuck Microsoft stories here. But, you know, the more I'm thinking about this is you've got a couple of options when it comes to, because it's not just Microsoft. It's Google. It's Facebook. It's Android. I almost did the story, but then I decided against it because it's kind of a no duh. But they just did a study at Cambridge. Excuse me. They just did a study at Cambridge that like every Android phone coming out of China is just loaded with spyware. Like, I mean, like even the amount of bloatware on the latest Samsung phones is like 60 gigs of the storage is taken up by the operating system because the amount of crap that's coming in these things now.
So, and you just can't flash that back to factory because this is coming bloated
that's
from
coming
the factory.
From the factory, yeah. There are some decrapifiers and things like that that help. And, of course, there's tools you can run on any of the operating systems, but Windows is doing it. iOS is doing it. Not as much as Android, but Android is doing it. Mac OS is doing it some. Again, not as much as the others, but they are doing it some. It's more in relation to the iCloud stuff than anything. But at least iCloud's fucking useful, though, syncing up your messages and everything across devices. But, you know, the Microsoft account, I'm sorry, that is hardly useful at all. Yeah, at work I use one for OneDrive and Office 365, but on a home machine, it's fucking useless. You know, the Android stuff, I guess it depends on how often you hop phones, whether or not you think having Google collect everything on you do on the device is... You know, I mean, it's similar utility to iCloud, but at least as far as device backups and stuff like that go. But every time I've set up a new Android device for the past, I don't know, 5 years or so, it's, you want to restore a backup? No, not really. I'd rather start fresh. You know, I don't want to reinstall all the same apps and shit I had on the other phone. I've got a handful I want, sure, but it's like if I don't remember that I was using that app, I probably didn't need it on the phone. You know, it's good cleanup, good hygiene. But, you know, pretty much every consumer device these days is trying to do this stuff. We had the story a couple of weeks ago about, you know, LG being upset that people weren't connecting the smart washer, the dishwasher or whatever it was, to their Wi-Fi for literally no benefit other than the data collection. And it's just like, you know, you're not going to be able to get away from this stuff. So... you either have to take our use approach, ditch all modern electronics, and, you know, you won't even be able to do Windows soon. You'll have to learn Linux or learn how to completely decrapify a Windows install, which can be done. There are examples of it out there. It is. Well, and every time update, if you keep it up to date so that you don't have to worry about viruses and shit, it puts it all right back in every time.
Yep.
And, you know, the two stories I have tonight are about Microsoft adding more shit through Windows updates. So. And
we haven't even started with the Internet of Things yet.
Oh, I know. So the other option is you're going to have to learn how to deal with it. You're going to have to learn, okay, you know everything you do on the device is being harvested for data. How do you adapt to that? Do you care? You know, we know plenty of people who just don't care. They know it's doing it. They just decide it's not worth their trouble to deal with it. But, you know, if Microsoft has every keystroke and they get popped or, have a change of leadership and now decide that it's okay to do shit with that data that the previous company's not, and Microsoft is getting much more aggressive with it, which is why I wanted to use them as the example tonight, but... you know, at least most of these things are trying to give you a useful function at the same time they're doing it. But, I mean, they're even getting away from that. It's just going to be to where it doesn't work if you don't let them collect data. I imagine that's going to be the next step on the smart appliances is because, you know, they're saying, oh, well, people aren't hooking it up to the Wi-Fi. Don't they understand all the benefits this could bring? It's just going to be this thing won't work unless you hook it up to the Wi-Fi. That'll be the next step. I mean, Windows already tries to force you to do that with Windows Setup. You can still do a local account, but it's a pain in the ass. You either have to use Rufus to do, you know, set up kind of a semi-automated install, or you have to, you know the trick about going in and killing the network service from a console? Or, I mean, you know, and of course, how that that's going to change every time, and Microsoft's going to keep doing more and more stuff to try to keep the main consumer level OSs from being able to do that. You know, they're even trying to phase out Active Directory and just get everybody on Office 365 accounts. They don't even want you running your own servers anymore. It's, you know, they want to control the whole ecosystem. I mean, from a business standpoint, I don't blame them, but, you know, from a what I want to do with my machine standpoint, they can fuck right off, you know? So, you know, your options are going to be learn to deal with all this stuff and understand what's going on under the hood, which, you know, because telling people to go educate themselves and understand how things are working has worked so well in the past. You know, see the automotive industry. Or learn to use devices that don't do it. You know, don't have a smartphone, have a dumb phone. Don't run Windows or Mac, run Linux. And it's like, oh, well, you can't play the latest games. Yeah, that sucks. Guess how many websites you can't use if you're worried, you know, if you want to take the total no data collection approach. I mean, there's a middle ground somewhere, but it's getting harder and harder to find because these companies are getting so aggressive about it. And I'm actually not against the middle ground aspect of figuring out how to deal with these things, but it gets frustrating. Go ahead, Matt Ben. I'm sorry.
I was gonna say using a dumb phone, I used to think that is a legit strategy for people. But more and more jobs, especially when you're going remote, they're taking something you'd be happy with the security aspect of, we need to do two-factor authentication, but the way they're doing it is, here's the app for your smartphone.
And when you say, I don't have a smartphone, they say, we pay you enough, go buy one.
Yeah. Like, we're going to need you to be working out of office to connect to our network, you need this app.
I have to have a phone for my job. And it's not just for the authenticator, although that's part of it. But pretty much, I need to be available through Teams most of the time in case an incident happens. I don't like it because I don't like Teams. I think like there's better programs out there for that kind of shit. But we have alerts and team and different groups and stuff wired into that. And if they're going to call me into an alert, well, one, if it gets to the point where they're waking me up in the middle of the night, something's really gone fucking wrong. But, you know, I have to be available through that. That is part of my job. Now, I'm paid well enough for it that I'm willing to put up with it. But, you know, I could not do my job if I had a dumb phone. I couldn't do my job if I had a Windows phone. Like that Windows Mobile thing from a few years ago. We actually had a guy for the longest time refused to upgrade his phone because he liked his Windows phone the way he had set it up. And, of course, nobody's making, you know, the authenticator apps and stuff like that for anymore. And it was actually an argument because they kept telling him, you have to get a phone that supports this stuff. And he says, this is the phone I've got. You all can support it if you can. And that was a weird one. They ended up ordering him a YubiKey, if I remember right. But that was a different company. This one, they wouldn't do that. They just say, well, you can get a smartphone or you can, you know, get another job, basically. Because, you know, if part of your responsibility is remoting in and you can't, well, guess what? So, I guess we'll start with the one thing they've really done that's obnoxious. So we've all seen that Windows finish setting up your device screen every once in a while when you log in, right?
Yeah, the one I keep clicking, I'll do this later.
Yeah, that one.
Yeah, same one.
Yeah, they changed it with the latest update to try to get you to sign up for, now it's Microsoft 365. It used to be Office 365. So, Windows 10 users are reportedly being blocked from accessing their desktops by full-screen trial offers for the Microsoft 365 Productivity Suite, formerly Office 365. These offers, titled Access Granted, We're Giving You a Free Trial of the Microsoft 365 Family, are being pushed via full screen notifications that give the users no choice but to enter their payment information and to activate the trial. Now, Microsoft is saying this was a mistake that it went out this way, but bullshit. The mistake is seeing how many people would do it.
Dude, that's game over for me.
Like, I don't want to give you my payment info for something I already don't know I don't want.
Yeah, I unplug at wall and see you later. I'm gone.
I know what your business model is on this. You're assuming I'm going to forget to cancel, and then I'm going to be paying for X number of months of shit that I didn't use and didn't want to begin with.
They are displayed during the Windows out-of-box experience before loading the desktop. The only options available to those seeing the full-screen promos are to, quote, try for free and, quote, no thanks. After clicking no thanks, the user gets sent to a confirm your payment option screen, where the only option left is to start trial buy later. So they've got the button swapped.
A dick move.
It is a dick move, because you know that's the kind of error that's there's no way that didn't get tested before that went out. There's no way somebody didn't know that was possible. After clicking no thanks, yeah, okay, I read that. While such screens are shown after doing a clean Windows install and installing feature updates, they usually contain an option for skip for now on the bottom left of the display. However, this time, Microsoft has replaced that button with a privacy and cookies link. Quote, Windows 10 prevented me from booting into the desktop without first non-consensually being forced to accept their free trial and $100 monthly thereafter. I obviously canceled after, but what the fuck? A Reddit user who uploaded the video said. So they've got a video of it doing this. And when I watched it earlier, it was pretty clear what's happened. They've got the function of the buttons swapped. Quote, it looks like they accidentally switched over the strings for no thanks and try it button. The try it button should actually be the no thanks button, unquote. Somebody else chimed in. Microsoft seems to be testing other layouts and pushing different offers, since others have reported seeing 50% off promos with next and no thanks buttons at the bottom. Similarly, clicking the no thanks button would have taken them to a new screen where they're asked to enter their payment information and the only option given the option to buy it now. Quote, same thing literally happened to me last night. I kept wondering why no thanks kept asking me for a card, and then I clicked back and then clicked next. One user said, quote, I updated my laptop yesterday and had the same issue. Took me 3 goes before I figured it out. This is criminal, another user added. Luckily, the users can cancel after entering credit card information required to enable the Microsoft 365 family subscription trial they were forced to pay to access their Windows 10 desktops. How is this not ransomware? if they choose not to or forget to do it until the trial expires, they'll be charged $100 per year while the subscription remains active. Quote, visit your Microsoft account to turn off recurring billing or to cancel and receive a probated refund, unquote, the payment screen also says. To avoid receiving this offer, you should start the installation process without an internet connection, which will allow you to create a local account if you don't want to link your desktop to a Microsoft account. While these issues are likely caused by a bug, Bleeping Computer reached out to Microsoft to learn more about the changes and will update when they get something. So, yeah, this is Microsoft.
My good faith is being more doubted. I don't think it's a bug at this point.
Well, I think they were testing. I honestly think, yeah, let's see how many people will put in their credit card information to get to their computer. Because like I said, there's no way that goes out without Microsoft has fired most of their testing departments. So maybe they just don't test anything before they put it out now. I'd believe that, but
yeah,
I mean, you know, that's one of the reasons they want so much damn telemetry so they don't have to do so much in-house testing. Just make your users your testers. So, and then the next article I have is from the Register, and I just realized I've been forgetting to post them to the IRC. Whoops. Microsoft swears it's not coming for your data with scans for old Office versions.
if they have to tell you they're not looking, it's because they're looking.
Yeah, Microsoft wants everyone to know that it isn't looking to invade their privacy while looking through their Windows PCs to find out-of-date versions of Office software. motherfucker, if I want to run Microsoft Office 2003, because that's the one I paid for however long ago, and don't want to upgrade, that's my prerogative.
Yep, if it works, don't fix it.
Really. In its KB5021751 update last month, Microsoft included a plan to scan Windows systems to smoke out those Office versions that are no longer supported or nearing the end of support. Those include Office 2007, which saw support end in 2017, and Office 2010 in 2020, and 2013, and the 2013 build that ends this April. The company stressed that would run only one time and would not install anything on the user's Windows system, adding that the file for the update is scanned to ensure it's not infected by malware and is stored on highly secure servers to prevent unauthorized changes to it. The update caused some discussion among users, at least enough to convince Microsoft to make another pitch that it is respecting user privacy and won't access private data despite scanning their systems. The update collects diagnostics and performance data so it can determine the use of various versions of Office and how best to support and service them. The software maker wrote in an expanded note this week, the update will silently run once to collect the data, and no files are left on the user's system once the scan is complete. So Microsoft is literally pushing a scanning tool onto your machine to collect what software you have installed, that's then reporting that back to Microsoft and then removing itself.
It's spyware.
Yeah? The quote, this data is gathered from registry entries and APIs, unquote, it wrote. Quote, the update does not gather licensing details, customer content, or data about non-Microsoft products. Microsoft values, protects, and defends privacy. Unquote. Bullshit.
No, it doesn't. That is
bullshit.
Microsoft
doesn't need to know which of their items I've bought.
They don't need to know what I'm running on my computer. It's not their fucking business. Microsoft then gives a link to the company's privacy page for further reading. The more detailed explanation tries to address some of the shortcomings of the original update. Notice that the register detailed, including how it will gather the information regarding the Office versions being run and any other system information being collected via the update, and if anything's left behind after the update is complete. Microsoft is delivering the update to users who have opted to receive updates for its products who have... Well, you don't get a choice on modern versions of Windows, and who have Office 2007, 10, or 2013 installed. Users who are squeamish about the scan can download the Show or Hide Updates Troubleshooter for Windows 10 and 11, which, along with disabling updates that are repeatedly failed to install or are causing other problems, users won't have to restart their systems after the update is installed, according to Redmond. Oh, well, that's nice. I mean, this is what I mean about Microsoft getting way more aggressive about this stuff. And, I mean, I'm probably going to switch over to a Mac eventually for consumer-level stuff and Linux for everything else. Because, I mean, Windows is... I mean, if I wanted all of my data to be gobbled up by a corporation that monitored everything it did on the machine, I would be running a Chromebook.
Yeah.
Now, does Mac have similar policies? Because I know... pretty hemmed in environment, isn't it?
It is. It very much is. But you can go in. Well, and you know, that's the thing, is you can go into the desktop version right now, because the broadcast box is a Mac M1, is a Mac Mini M1. You can go in and turn off a lot of their guideposts and fences in there so that you can install whatever, you know, desktop apps you want and stuff like that. And, you know, like I said, the iCloud integration with my phone's kind of nice. But I know that everything I go through iCloud is I'm sure, getting scanned for advertising. But, and this is where I was talking about understanding what they're doing and using that to make choices, right? I think a little bit of that, if you know what they're doing and you find the service useful, is probably, I wouldn't say okay, but at least, you know, you can deal with it, right? But, if the way Microsoft is doing it, by flat out forcing shit on your machine, well, you know, Apple wasn't so great about it, though, back in the day. I know with their iTunes stuff, they were scanning people's hard drives and, you know, deleting music to play it with the cloud version. What was it? The Apple Music Service. But they got they had a lot of backlash over that and backed off on doing that kind of stuff in the future. So I don't know. Maybe it's straight Linux, because I mean, I don't know anymore, man. I mean, that's the problem, is it's like, you know, do you figure out how to maintain these systems and deal with the bullshit? Because, you know, a modern Windows machine, you basically can't, if you decrapify it and get all the telemetry turned off, you basically can't update it. I saw a post about somebody who had made a slimmed-down version of Windows 11 that had removed all that stuff, and they had a couple of different groups look at it and say it's perfectly serviceable and it works, but you won't be able to apply service packs. You can get basic updates, but they're not sure how well they'll work. And, yeah, I mean, it's like, okay, well,
if I can't get the updates, why am I paying for it? Because that was the big selling point of Windows, is you sell it, you buy it, we'll maintain it, you know, over Linux, which is we'll give it to you for free, but you'll have to pay us if you need tech support.
Well, the selling point of Windows for most people is it's what comes with their computer, and it's what they use at work or at school. It's what they know how to use. Most people are not willing to learn another system, so. But, I mean, from a data privacy standpoint, this is absurd. This is, I mean, Microsoft is basically acting like they own your computer. And I guess most users don't care enough to stop them, because they obviously are doing it.
And I also got to think, most users, how much of their data are they just throwing out on the internet because they want to advertise where they're going on vacation and when to rob their house?
Well, I mean, just go look at Facebook or Twitter. I mean, that's not... Yeah, I mean, you're right. So I don't know anymore on this, because, I mean, do you learn how to manage it? Do you just accept that you're not going to have any control of your data and hope that we get some laws about it? Or, you know, do you go straight Linux, or do you pick the one that you think is least bad and go with that? Because that's where I was leaning, because it's like, well, I guess Macs are the least bad right now. Maybe they're the way to go, but their history isn't perfect either, so it's like, I don't know.
Well, I think one thing, I think you could possibly start segmenting your machines and build them according to what you want. Like, the only thing I do that I'm really concerned with is financial information and taxes. So maybe I should go pop out one of the old laptops I have, throw Linux on it, and this is my tax machine. Because on my main machine, I stream videos and play video games. And whereas hopefully Linux will get good at it, Windows is currently what everything runs on.
Well, Steam Deck's getting better, but you're right. I mean, for a lot of things, it's basically Windows or nothing.
So you might have people start doing their own networks at home. This machine only does this. This machine does everything that I don't give a shit if the world sees me on.
Well, laptops are cheap enough. That's certainly one way to go if you just want to have a couple of different machines you segment out.
And depending on what you're doing, an old machine doesn't need to be the newest and best. Like I said, taxes, how old does your machine have to be to do the free IRS tax prepare?
You need to be able to run a modern web browser, so 6 years, I think. I mean, I guess it depends on what the machine was. If you had a top-of-the-line machine 10 years ago, it's probably still rocking fine today. But if you had more of a mid-range PC a few years ago, if you've got less than 4 gigs of RAM, you're going to have a bad time pretty much no matter what these days. I guess you could get a Raspi. That's, well, those are expensive as balls.
Oh, yeah, Morphs is selling one for $40.
Yeah. Let me go and load these on eBay real quick. Well, I mean, seriously, now you got me thinking. Let's see. How many of these do I have in the parts bin here? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I've got 6 Pi Zero W is right here in the parts bin doing nothing. I had to unload those on eBay. That's at least a good steak dinner right there. Oh, fuck. I don't know, man. Are you, what are you doing? I mean, you take this a little more seriously than anybody else I know. Oh, we lost RU. RU's having internet issues, so. Crap. Oh, fuck. So, yeah, I really don't know what the right answer is. I mean, Steam Decks are coming along. That certainly might be a way to go. I could, especially for gaming.
Yeah, and right now most of my games are I'm getting from the Steam store. I hate to say it, but I haven't gone out and bought a physical computer game in a long time, and that's one thing that kind of scares me about our society. Is I hope Steam lasts for decades and decades. Every company fails eventually. And if it fails while I'm playing games, how much of my shit's going to be lost? And a lot of the games I have are cross-platform. There's no reason they should just be locked up on a Steam account. They can be played, like I said, on all kinds of different servers.
Well, something to think about, though, actually, I know with Steam you can do this. There are ways to back up your Steam accounts offline, or your Steam stuff offline. The big one is that if you go into pretty much any of your Steam games, let me just pull up my library here so I remember how to do it, you can get the CD key for that game out of Steam. So, go to the library. Yeah, I don't know. Let me pick one. I don't know. What's a Ion
Borderlands 2. There
Borderlands
you go.
2. Let me go find Borderlands 2. Borderlands 2. Properties. There's a way to get your CD key out of here. And I know that there's scripts or programs out there for backing up your games. I think you have to install it first to get the local files. But there are ways to back up your Steam games. There is a way to do this. Manage, hide this game, install. No, I'm not seeing it, though. Maybe it has to be installed. And pick a game that's installed. Ion Fury is installed. Let's see. Click into it. There is a way to do this, and now I'm not... no, I can't remember it.
Well, beyond video games, music libraries, I still buy physical CDs when it comes to my music, but how many people just listen to stuff on iTunes or Spotify?
Oh, there's the backup. Yeah, it's just you go to properties, local files, backup game files. So you can back up your game pretty easily. There's a way to get your CD key out of these games. And now I've forgotten what it is. But I know in the Steam overlay, you can hit show CD key because some games will require it. Let's see. Select the cogwheel on the right, manage, and then CD keys. Okay, so it's... So, library, game, cog, manage. No, that's not there anymore. Oh, maybe not every game has a CD key or serial. If the game requires a CD key, okay, so it only shows it for games that actually have it. But yeah, you can, anything you've got installed locally, you can back up. So you could go through and back up your Steam library to, I don't know, local hard disks or burn them off to disk or something if you want to, but... yeah, dude, I don't know. That's... You know, with these companies getting more aggressive about them controlling what you do with your hardware...
Like, you don't own your computer. We do. You're just renting it from us.
Yeah. It's like, yeah, you paid for the hardware. You think you get to, you get to do what you want with it? That's cute. It's like, no, we control your computer. We collect your data. You exist at our whim, slave. I mean, and people and big tech leaders wonder why people don't like them. So, anyways, let's. I guess we'll move on to the next one. See if RU makes it back. You back? Are you?
Yeah, I'm here. Listen, I haven't had much to say. There's not been much to add.
Okay. Well,
aggressively agreeing with everything you're saying.
Yeah, well, that's the problem, is I picked a topic that we all agree with, and I was just going to rant about for 35 minutes.
As I've stated, dude, I think I'm on the internet for about another 2 years, and then I'm out. Yeah. Becoming too onerous.
I've been working on my backup method, but... You probably don't want to hear me talk about radios, so I'm even figuring out how to set up BBSs on the radios so that, you know, go back to the ways that worked. It's like I hook up my HF radio to a Commodore 64, be like doing the internet in the 80s. Oh, fuck, I can probably make that work. Anyways, so let's do this article. RU sent me this one. Twitter outage sees users told they are over the daily tweet limit. It's from the BBC. That's an interesting one.
An interesting experiment he's trying.
Yeah.
Over the daily tweet limit?
Uh-huh. Account holders received a message saying you are over the daily limit for sending tweets. The outage tracking website Down Detector reported the glitch at just before 2200 GMT. Elon Musk has slashed Twitter's workforce over the past few months since he acquired the platform last October for $44 billion. Last month, the Tesla and SpaceX boss said Twitter had about 2,300 employees, down from around 8,000 when he took over. Well, yeah, Twitter was losing money left and right. They only had they were constantly getting propped up through, well... For months, experts have been warning that such deep cuts could cause technical issues, though it's not yet clear if the reduced headcount was to blame for Wednesday's outage. I think we talked about this at the time on deck and yet agreed that you don't need that many people to run that kind of a... Twitter is not... It's a big platform, so you've got complex problems when you're scaling it, but what it's actually doing is not that complex. It appears that part of the outage was soon fixed, with many users reporting they could tweet. Some reported being notified by the Twitter that they were over the 2,400 tweet per day limit, even if they had not posted on Wednesday. 2,400 tweet per day. Although I think they said he was cutting off, they were cutting off access to the API too. So I think Twitter is trying to put limits to. I mean, 2,400. That the only automated stuff is going to do that.
I'm thinking that's a lot of tweets in a day.
I mean, your thumbs must be bleeding after punching out that much crap on your phone. Account holders had also reported problems with Twitter messages. Several users said they could not access TweetDeck, a dashboard that can be used with Twitter. It's not yet clear how many people were affected. Quote, Twitter may not be working as expected for some of you. Sorry for the trouble. We are aware and working to get it fixed. Unquote, Twitter said. In recent weeks, many users have complained of bugs while using Twitter, some claiming they could increase the reach of tweets if they locked their accounts. Tech news website The Information reported that Mr. Musk had told Twitter employees to pause on new feature development, quote, in favor of maximizing system stability and robustness, especially with the Super Bowl coming up, unquote. Twitter also announced that users of an $8 a month subscription service in the U.S. can now post longer tweets. Well, I mean, that's not surprising that the model would be that here's the basic service for free. If you want to do the fancy stuff, it starts costing. That's, I mean, that's not even an unreasonable business model. That's been something for years. Twitter Blue subscribers can now post up to 4,000 characters, far more than the 280 character limit imposed on non-paying users. Quote, but don't worry, Twitter is still Twitter, unquote, the company said in a lengthy tweet announcing the feature. Meanwhile, Down Detector also reported an outage at YouTube, which at its peak reported 65,000 users. In a tweet, YouTube, which is owned by Google parent company Alphabet, said it was investigating reports that the website was down for some of you. We're looking into it, really smart. Okay, well, that's probably why YouTube was acting up on the TV the other day, so whatever. But wasn't enough to actually care. It's just like, well, go do something else. But, yeah, I mean, none of that's surprising that Twitter's trying to monetize. Hell, if somebody is that addicted to Twitter, $8 a month is probably cheap.
Yeah.
So
I'm still wondering, how the hell do you do more than 2,000 tweets in a day?
APIs. If you've got an automated system that's using Twitter to manage some back-end stuff, move data between systems, or if you've got... it's like, you used to be able to set up... Well, like when I set up the Galaxy 15 site, I used to have it set up to post to a Twitter account every time we posted something on G15. Now, I killed that a long time ago because I purposely locked out my Twitter accounts because I decided the platform was dumb. That was in, like, 2012, so don't anybody get too excited about that. It was a long-ass time ago. But You can have Twitter accounts that are fed by plugins through APIs and stuff like that. And so, like, if you've got a huge, busy website that's posting all of its activity to Twitter, it'll hit that 2,000 message limit pretty quick. But a human typing stuff out, 2,400 tweets a day, unless they're all, like, one word or you're just tweeting, like, photos or something like that, I see a hard time for any person to hit that. And that's probably what that is they're probably trying to discourage bots with that. Because there are schemes where you have a real account post something, and then you have bot accounts that repost things over and over and over again, or they, you know, they're reposting for lots of different accounts based on what people are paying them for to, you know, drive up the numbers so they try to get a tweet trending or... you see that more on things like product reviews and things like that, where somebody's paid for likes kind of thing. So that number is high enough. They're probably trying to combat bots, because I can see where somebody would look at that and say, yeah, a real person's probably not going to post that many times a day, but a bot easily would. So the problem is that the people who run bots will just shrug, say, okay, and put a cap in their software, their 2,400, and just have whoever's running the software set up 5 or 6 more mobile phones on the rack next to them.
Exactly.
So it's not a bad idea. I just don't see it as being a very effective one. So
always wondered what happened to my old cell phone. It became a Twitter bot when it grew up.
That's probably what happens to a lot of people's old cell phones, especially if you sell them back to the cell phone company. Because what will happen is, if it's not new enough for them to put back out on the market, they'll sell it to a recycler. Well, where do you think the recyclers do with them? They usually send them back to Asia, either to be broken down for parts, because they're actually, a couple of years back, were some really cool videos of the different parts markets in Shenzhen. And I forget the guy's name, but his channel got real famous for a while because he built his own iPhone from parts. And he did a few other things, and then I think he went a bit off the rails, and I haven't seen anything from him in a long time. Because, like, he bought a house out in the desert last time I looked, and I was like, I thought you were, like, buying weird shit in China and doing things with it. Because, like, the one I remember, other than him building the iPhone, was he had found this adapter that let him take a chip out of the iPhone, or maybe it was an Android, it was a memory chip out of a phone, and turn it into a USB flash drive. And so he took a broken phone motherboard, extracted the memory chip from it, put it on this board, and plugged it into his laptop, and had a, you know, like a terabyte flash drive for the cost of the adapter board, basically. So, you know, stuff like, or maybe it wasn't a terabyte, but whatever the size was. Still, it was kind of a cool concept because it was showing how the memory chips could be adapted, and he couldn't recover any data. It was all encrypted. He had to format it, but it was usable. But yeah, like the parts markets in Shenzhen are all made up of recycled phones because those companies, by contract, don't sell spare parts. So if you're ordering a screen to replace your cracked screen, it's probably coming from a recycled phone that was broken down in somewhere in Asia, usually China. But if the phone still works, a lot of times they'll get resold on the secondary market, usually in other markets like Asia, and they're much, much cheaper than new phones. So if they can buy a stack of, you know, 3-year-old iPhones for, you know, $50 a piece, they'll do it because they can, you know, who cares that the battery doesn't hold a charge? It's going to get put on a rack and have a cable plugged into it all the time anyways. So, yeah, there's a whole ecosystem around that kind of stuff. But that's where those parts, that's where the part markets come from, is they take the old machine, the old phones and tablets and stuff. And if you ever want to know how to take apart some of these phones, see if you can find the videos of the Asian guys doing it, because they know how to do it to save the parts, because, you know, they sell them. So that's why if you go ordering phone repair tools, oftentimes it's coming straight out of China. It's not because, it's literally because they're the only ones who seem to know how to make them. But, like, you know, temperature-controlled hot plates should get hot enough to melt the glue without damaging anything else and stuff like that. It's all very specific gear. And most of that stuff only comes out of one place. So,
or it's being manufactured to begin with.
Yep. All right. I'll do this last story fairly quickly. And I think this is, I'm not sure with this one. It's funny. This is from consequence.net. Perhaps unable to land a proper collaboration with Eminem on his own, David Guetta. I'm not saying it right. I know who the guy is, but for some reason I'm blanking on how to say his name correctly. Has taken matters into his own hands with the help of AI. At a recent gig, the superstar DJ producer showed off exactly what the technology can do by playing a snippet of a new song with deep fake vocals sounding eerily like the Detroit rapper. Quote, "Let me introduce you to M-A-I-N," Guetta wrote in a tweet sharing a clip from the concert. In the intro of the unreleased track featured a voice that sounds remarkably similar to Eminem's. Quote, "This is the future rave sound," unquote. It says, quote, "I'm getting awesome and underground," unquote. The resemblance to Eminem's actual voice is uncanny. Guetta broke down how he was able to deepfake Eminem in the remainder of the video. "Eminem, bro, this is something I made as a joke, and it worked so good I could not believe it," he said. "I discovered those websites about AI. Basically, you can write lyrics in the style of any artist you like, so I typed in, write a verse in the style of Eminem about a future rave, and then I went to another AI website that can recreate the voice, put the text in, and I played the record, and people went nuts." As a disclaimer, Guetta emphasized that he's not releasing it commercially, obviously, but it doesn't absolve him from the ethical implication of deepfaking another artist's voice. Anyone in the audience that night easily could have been fooled into thinking Guetta might have actually made a song with Eminem. It's pretty clear that he had no idea this was happening. Guetta isn't exactly known for thinking things through. In June 2020, he remixed Martin Luther King Jr.'s I Have a Dream speech as a house track in honor of George Floyd. Okay.
Wow. That you're just really reaching for that virtual signal there.
Yeah. Thanks to the proliferation of ChatGPT, AI has become more accessible than ever. However, neither Jerry Seinfeld nor Nick Cave have been impressed by AI-generated attempts to mimic their work. Last year, Capitol Records crashed and burned with their FN Mecca project, a virtual rapper who dropped the N-word in lyrics generated by AI. So, yeah, okay, he did it as a lark. He still played it at a concert, but also, how long before people are just, you know, deep faking somebody famous's voice and making their own albums and putting it out there like it's a real thing. I mean, that's just, or worse, you know, when do the lawsuits start of, oh, I think this person deep faked my voice. I want all the revenue from their album, whether they did or not, just because you happen to sound like somebody.
I could see those starting pretty soon. And the counter to it will be, listen to my actual voice. I just sound like that guy.
So, we're about to enter a very strange time with being able to just deepfake anything you want.
Yep, nothing is real and the internet is dead.
Anything else on that?
About it, man. What else can you say? We're, what, creatively bankrupt?
Well, you know, it'd be nice if Hollywood would, you know, make up something new as opposed to remaking it for the umpteenth time. But go ahead, Madman.
I don't know if it'd quite be creatively bankrupt when it comes to just sampling and remixing a voice into a new song.
Well, yeah, it is kind of sampling. I don't know, though. I mean, because you could do, because I think he did a whole track.
One could say that the pretty much music industry was ruined by fucking autotune. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because that's where it started. You can take anyone and make them sound good.
Well, at least make them sound in key.
Yeah, or better.
Well, yeah, you layer enough effects on top of anything, it'll sound interesting.
Yeah, see, previous statement, man, everything's fake and the internet's dead.
Well, I don't think it's just the internet at this point, but let's go ahead and do this. Yo! Hadouken! All right, what I have for us tonight in Digital Dojos is kind of an interesting one. It's a GitHub link, as these usually are. This one is the big-ass data broker opt-out list. So it is a list. It's actually kind of old. He's been updating it, but the original, you know, was started 2 years ago. I may have even posted this before. I'm not sure. But it's a whole list of all these different websites and how to, you know, submit removal of your stuff if you don't want it in there. Now, he's got a bunch of links that look like they have problems, but like the opt-outs don't work. But he's at least got information on here of all these different websites and how to opt out of them. That said, what he also has here is a huge list of data broker websites that you can often search. Now, they usually want money to get, you know, any kind of results that are more than just, yes, we have this record. But it's a huge list of data broker websites. So if, you know, not only if you want to get off the data broker websites for whatever reason you might want to, if you want to have a quick way of running somebody down, here's a big list of data broker websites that you might be interested in. Go ahead, Madman.
Oh, I was just thinking wondering what all you can find as far as running people down.
It's usually going to be name, address, phone number, probably a couple of previous addresses, previous phone numbers, sometimes employer, sometimes, you know, you can get like credit scores and stuff like that. It just depends on what these different sites collect. Most of the time it's phone numbers, addresses, and occasionally socials. But,
yeah. Social's kind of scary.
Driver's license and stuff like that, too. They'll show up. But, you know, some of these are background checks. So, you know, like advanced background checks here. That one probably might have, you know, any criminal records that have been public. So.
Yeah, that's public record.
Well, but the real problem is, you know, if you ever got one expunged, did they go back and clean up the database? Because they don't always do that. And
no, they don't.
And some of these, a lot of times, companies will use these background check services rather than, you know, having somebody actually do it. They just go through a service. And so if they've archived something that's... So it's actually good to know how to clean these up, because if you go through... You could also go through and check them. Like if you're trying to job hunt or something, you can search through all the background alert, you know, the background check sites here, and, you know, see if anybody has anything that's wrong so you can get that corrected. So that'd be a good one, too. Like, if you're trying to get hired and people keep coming back, well, you know, it's got your name confused with somebody on the no-fly list, which I think that got released not too long ago. So,
damn.
Yeah, somebody managed to get a copy of the no-fly list, and I think they published it. I need to go find a copy of it, see how many times I'm on it. Well, I just flew last year, so probably not. Just punch it. Let's see, I've got a few other names to check on the no-fly list. Madman? It's like,
I love...
Are you? They've got your name, you know, bold and underscored on here for some reason.
I just hope me and Fox's names are touching on the list.
Yeah, but it's only the tips of the names. Oh, I get it. Okay. Anybody have anything else on this?
I loved accidentally getting to inform somebody who was adopted.
Oh, fuck.
As cashing a check, and our service came back saying, your social's linked to somebody else. He thought it was identity theft, which I could completely understand. No, it was his old name.
Oh.
He was adopted young enough, his parents never told him. They were just going to treat him like my kid, never tell him.
Oh, that's
rough. A gut puncher, man.
He was cashing his first paycheck.
Oof.
I've got nothing on top of that one. Shit.
Yeah, there you go. I can't top that one.
All right, let's close things out here. Thanks. Wow. Thanks for closing us out there, Matt. Man, listen to the stream. We're always working on it. Pure Decking every Thursday. The Galaxy 15 radio site and subreddit in the IRC tonight. Sardonyx. Myself, Madman, Large Cyber, Psychros. We had Al Hazard pop in, but then he popped back out after a bit, so I guess he's not in there anymore. Madman, closing thoughts.
Parents, if we do have any listening, you can use this to help clean up your adopted kids' background and history, so that if they ever get a job and cash a check, some clerk doesn't tell them, we can't cash your check because you're adopted.
Are you? Closing thoughts.
I have nothing, man. That man stole the show. I'm out.
We're sorry. Your call cannot be completed as dialed.
Oh, fuck.